Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the desert and Sefer Bamidbar. And like, you know, all bar mitzvahs, very often, like, you know, you have a good old bar mitzvah, and you can't just celebrate the mitzvah, you have to have a theme. Each time you walk in, or, you know, any of these major events, you go to a dinner, they have a theme, so to speak, and that sets the tone for what's going to be. A lot of girls' schools, they have a theme for an entire year, and every program that they run, and every event that they do, and their Shabbatones are filled with the theme, and they knock ahead and with the theme. And similarly, when it comes to each of the Sfarim in the Chumash, in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, it's replete with a theme. And the Netziv is all over that. The Netziv is a beautiful Hakdama to Psicha, if you will, to the Sefer, as he does to most of these Sfarim. And he begins by explaining what is Sefer Bamidbar primarily about, and what is the theme that one is supposed to be speaking about. For example, Sefer Bereishis is about the creation of the nation, and Shmos is about the Geula, the redemption, coming out of the pregnancy. Vayikra would be about the continuum from Har Sinai, where Kadosh Baruch Hu finishes that portion, where he lets us know what all the mitzvot are. But Sefer Dvarim is, again, the preparation to going into Eretz Yisrael, the final, you know, as we see the Rabban, it talks about how all the mitzvot refer to those that we're going to need in Eretz Yisrael. So what is Sefer Bamidbar all about? So the Netziv and his Emek Dover and his Akdama, I have to give thanks to my daughter's Mora for giving out these Makaras. I study with my daughter Chumash, so she's learning Sefer Bamidbar this year. So this was the first thing she came home with this year, was the Hakdama of the Netziv. And it's very, very beautiful, the Hakdama. And it's kedai to spend a couple of minutes to look inside if you get a chance on your own. But he basically explains that what is the primary focus of Sefer Bamidbar? It's that of the time of transition. It's a transition period. It starts off that we're in the Midbar. And Klal Yisrael is working on a certain, they're traveling b'derach, shalom b'derach ha-teva, in a non-natural way, in a miraculous fashion, and all of the miracles are still there with them as they travel through the desert. But then, as the Sefer moves, unfortunately what happens is that it goes from, I shouldn't say unfortunately, this is the way of the world, it goes from this traveling b'derach ha-nes to that of derech ha-teva. It changes the entire complexity, because getting ready, it's almost the beginning stage of them getting ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael, where we will not be operating on a supernatural level, but rather only on a natural level. In the Midbar, everything was Bederach Teferis, is what he explains here. But when it gets to Eretz Yisrael, it's Teva. And this is the transition that happens here. And it spreads off as a beautiful little diuk that the Netziv has. If you look, generally, when you're doing Shnayim Mikra, when it comes to you know, the people, you're like excited, because even though Bamidbar is a long parsha, so you could kind of just run through a lot of the Chumash. You're reading through all the different names of the Degalim in this week's parsha. And again, in Pinchas, he counts us again, and there are many reasons why the counting is repeated. But if you look very carefully at some of the nuances of the counting, you could see a development. And the Netziv does this in a very beautiful way. For example, in this week's parsha, when he describes the counting, it goes Ephraim followed by Menashe. When you get to Parshas Pinchas, it switches the order a little bit, and it goes Menashe followed by Ephraim. In the Psicha, he really just mentions that that's a difference. But what's the Amkus? What's the depth? What's going on as to why there is a difference in the order of the people listed? So later on in our parsha, on the pasuk, the Netziv explains in a very, very beautiful way. He says, when Klal Yisrael was in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, then we were acting in a supernatural way. That was the spiritual order they were giving. And therefore, in the spiritual world, Ephraim precedes Menashe. But when you get to Parashat Pinchas, after all of the transition has pretty much taken place, which we're going to speak about in one moment, that towards the end, they already had all of the Chatoyim, which changed the nature. You have Parashat Shlach with the Meraglim. You have the Misonanim in Baal Oscha, you have Nebuch, the story of Korach Ladasa. So now the transition has changed because Klal Yisrael's level has gone down, so to speak, where they can no longer interact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a supernatural way, rather in a natural way. So in the natural order, who's going to be more of a leader? That of Menashe precedes Ephraim. So you have the second time the switcheroo. It's a world famous switcheroo when Yaakov switches his hands between Ephraim and Menashe. But perhaps the less famous one is the one that Netziv is highlighting, which is that here we have Ephraim preceding Menashe in the spiritual world, but in the physical world, which is the natural world, there Menashe comes before Ephraim. And when you understand that, you unlock the key to what Sefer Bamidbar is about. This concept of transition. The Gemara in Shabbos, which is well known, people speak about this primarily in Parshas Balos, explains that Vayihi ben Soa Aron, that Parsha, which we're going to read in a number of weeks with the upside down nuns, that is what's called the Sefer Bifnei Atzmo. It's its own independent Sefer. Why is it its own independent Sefer? Because it's the vision between the beginning part and the latter part. That in the beginning you have acting in a supernatural way, and at the end it starts transitioning to the natural way with the break of Vayihi ben Soa Aron. So everybody knows, why is it there? So some people say, because in order to divide up between Paranios and Paranios, between some of the bad things Klal Yisrael did and they did, so we shouldn't have, so to speak, a two-game losing streak, so Vayihi ben Soa Aron is right in the middle. But the way the Netziv understands it, the Netziv says, because what starts off with the Misonanim right before that? That's all of a sudden, when we're acting with a Kaddish Baruch who's acting with us in a supernatural way, and the transition begins right there with the Misonanim, when they start complaining about the lack of meat, hedemon, they start complaining about all this stuff. So that's when the transition and the arrow starts to point down away from that supernatural way and into the natural area, being that of, you know, Kaddish Baruch Hu acting a different way, getting us ready for Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we have a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo, so to speak. We have the beginning Sefer, which is Shaloi B'Derech HaTeva, in a supernatural way. The middle, the transition, and the end, when all of a sudden things are now happening in a very natural way. So that's why at the end, we switch from Menashe to Ephraim. And all that's in the Akdam, and I recommend that everybody has a chance, they look at that insight. But the question that I want to really grapple with, and this is something that Rav Moshe Shapiro begins developing this Netziv, is what's Pshat then calling it Bamidbar? You know, when you look at the English translation, it's numbers. I don't know why the English translation is numbers. The real Hebrew word that they're playing off of is Pekudim, which means to be counted. Numbers is really not a good translation. You know, as a kid, I always looked for the English Sefer, because I didn't know how to read the Chumash, so I wanted English, and I never knew, like Leviticus, Deuteronomy, I don't know. These are not English words, but you're trying to figure it out. So what's Pshat? That Bamidbar is really the name, and not Pekudim numbers, but why is the term Bamidbar used to describe? So it's well known, we'll discuss the Sfas Emes here, as to what is a Midbar? What exactly is a Midbar? So what is, number one, the Medrash tells us the following: Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai, kol mi she'eino oseh atzmo kimidbar hefker, eino yachol latnos es chachma v'atorah. Whoever doesn't nullify themselves and make themselves ownerless, so to speak, he cannot purchase that wisdom of the Torah. Makach nemar b'midbar Sinai. That's why it says b'midbar Sinai. What does this mean? Make himself a midbar hefker, the midbar ownerless. Okay, and furthermore, what's the depth of the relationship between actual place and the Midbar? I mean, there's got to be something about the place of the Midbar. So I just want to show you a very beautiful Sfas Emes. There are a number of beautiful Sfas Emes in the in the beginning of this week's parasha, but particularly Tofresh Lamed Gimel. Here he spells out exactly, he plays off this Medrash. He plays off this Medrash to what does it mean that a Midbar is a Lashon Hefker? It's that of being ownerless. So he says, what is a Midbar? Ubemedrash, Hatam Shanitan Midbar. If you don't make yourself like a midbar, you're never going to merit the Torah. Why? Maral explains. Everything has chumer, chomer, and sur. It has shape, and there's a spirituality component. Right? Now, Maral goes much, if you ever read a Maral, that's pretty much all you know. Chomer, tzura, chomer, tzura. The less chomer, the more tzura. The more tzura, the less tzura, the more chomer. The more physicality, the less spirituality, etc., etc. But he says the midbar has no tzir. There's no physicality in a midbar. You ever try to plant something in a midbar? Right? You don't do that. Why not? Because it's not going to grow. The absolute lack of physicality is the midbar. He says, so he says, the chomer, excuse me, before I said surah, but the chomer is the physicality. But what he says is as follows. The most that I want to prepare myself as a vessel, which is pure tzura and not chomer, similar to that of the midbar, I have to prepare myself. That's the level I will be ready to accept the Torah. Then he explains, v'gam midbar lashon dibur also means that of speaking, v'hanhaga, and acting. He explains, like it says, aseres hadiburim, right? The ten commandments, lios nidaber hakol al pi mitzvos. Everything should be via the mitzvos. The idea of Hefker, right? You're learning Pesachim this year, some of us. So what is the idea of Hefker? Bittul, nullification. nullification of oneself is ultimately making oneself hefker. Hefker doesn't mean to make oneself ownerless, that anybody who wants could come and get them. That's not what hefker really means. Hefker means I am mevatel my das, I nullify myself to, if you will, the ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The greater you do that, the greater you make yourself like the Midbar, the greater you will be able to accept the Torah. People don't know. I control the morning. Anyway, so what's pshat? So what's pshat that it made into a Midbar? It's made it, we have to make ourselves into a Midbar to make ourselves nullification, that the only thing that we're willing to accept, so to speak, is that of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And similarly, there's another Sfas Emes, which is piggybacking off of Rabbi Meir. He says, Kol Osek B'Torah L'Shma is going to merit great things. If you Osek Torah L'Shma, so what is Torah L'Shma? So first he wants to say Torah L'Halacha. It's not true. That's what Torah is. If you're not willing to accept the Halacha of the Torah, then don't learn Torah. What is Torah L'Shma? So he says like this. The primary yigi b'tor levatel sichlo, to nullify your sechel, your brain, vidas, kidei leido ulahavin ratzon Hashem yisbarach, in order to understand the wisdom of God, vidas haTorah. And then he says, and that's why we're compared to a midbar, shetzarach leos hefker kemidbar. And that's what Klal Yisrael did initially in the midbar. So what is the Medrash telling us? What is this idea of telling us in the Medrash, of Bamidbar? It's telling us something very important, very very obvious, so to speak. That now that we're in this time of transition, so to speak, we're at this period where now we're not going to lose the supernatural, where everything is so obvious that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that's not going to work anymore. We're going to be, have to make yourself into a Midbar. Who's going to be ultimately the most successful person in continuing the connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu like we used to have in the supernatural way? That who's willing to nullify themselves like a Midbar. Somebody's willing to give themselves over, so to speak, and totally nullify them, their own physical self, and open up that spiritual component that they can connect, so to speak, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's where it says this beautiful Torah from Yaakov Kamenetsky. I said it last night when I introduced Rabbi Rosenblatt, but it's worth sharing again if you didn't hear it. You know, it's interesting. The Chumash joins us mid-story this week. We're in the middle of the second month of the second year, and there's an encampment around the Mishkan, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks an obvious question. Why is it that they first gave us a list of the encampments now when they were already traveling like this for a year and a month? Why'd it wait? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a Sefer Emes LeYaakov, says beautiful Torah. He says like this. He says, what is a flag? Each camp was moving with their own flag. Every shevet had their own color, similar to what they had on the breastplate. The color matched the flag. What is a color? The color identified each shevet with a particular task that they're supposed to serve for Klal Yisrael. Their particular character traits, so to speak. The goal, the destiny of each shevet. So the entire time that each shevet did not have something that unified them, it looked like there was a period. You're red, you're blue, you're green, you're white, you're orange. It looked like, you know, like the Olympic nations. You know, they march around, that each one has their own flag that identifies their uniqueness and their individuality. But if that's the end, then that's going to create a period. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it could only be listed now in the beginning of Bamidbar, when there's a Mishkan that was already erected a month earlier. Because now there's a focus towards the middle. What's the unification of the entire Klal Yisrael that all has their own unique colors? When it's pointed towards the Mishkan. When it's pointed towards the middle, then Klal Yisrael could be unified, and that's when we're at our greatest heights. Now, we have to have our own flags and our own unique qualities, etc., etc. But they all have to be pointed with the same goals, and that of looking towards Hashem. Al pi Hashem Yachinu, al pi Hashem Yisu. That's going to be the major theme of this as we travel through the Midbar, that based on the Word of God we travel, based on the Word of God we rest. And we have to be focused towards that middle, towards that of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which of course represents the nullification of oneself. That's highlighted all in that very first pasuk. Which leads us to the ultimate goal, which is that of, as the Gemara in Tainus says, so Moshe Shapiro quotes this beautiful Gemara in Tainus, that what's going to happen in the end of the days, that it's going to be Amar Belazar, Asa the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lasas Mechol, Tzadikah, V'yoshe B'nei Megaredim. Eventually there's going to be another encampment. That's going to happen at the end of days. We're going to be in a circle, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol himself is going to be in the middle. And we're naturally going to have all our eyes pointed towards him, because that's the ultimate end game, that of Olam Haba. So as we read Parashas Bamidbar, and we begin Sefer Bamidbar, just when you hear the words Bamidbar, that's a clue, that's a remedy, that's supposed to remember, okay, it's a time of transition. We're leaving the supernatural, we're ending into the natural. But don't just call it a time of transition. We have to transition ourselves. And now also we have to make ourselves into a midbar and nullify ourselves with all of our eyes pointing towards that of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we head towards Shavuos, we're only a couple of days away now from Kabbalah Satorah. We head towards Shavuos. That's what Shavuos is all about. How does one makabel the Torah? You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kabbalah Satorah is as great as we make it. There's no... Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Torah as best he can, right? The only question now is, how do we receive the Torah? In these last 10 days before the great chasana of that of Kabbalah Satorah, it behooves all, each and every one of us to try our best, to try to reconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to try, through nullification of oneself, by accepting the Torah as great as one can. Have a good Shabbos. I lost my time in the middle. I have no idea. How what?